Welcome, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo here on WTMR 800 AM, where the master reigns on In His Sign Catholic Radio. And you're on my new titled program called Signed, Sealed, and Delivered. So thank you for joining me today. So for those of you who are regular listeners, I just changed the name to Signed, Sealed, and Delivered to make it a little bit more unique and to open up more possibilities on the topics of the show. I'm going to change things up a little bit from what we're used to, as our regular listeners are used to. But if you're new to the program, welcome. And what I normally do on prior programs is I go over the readings of the weekend for the masses. And then also I talk about the saints of the day and also get quotes from some of the different saints. I'll be doing some of that for sure, because I get a lot of good comments about from various people that I meet regarding the program. And so I'm going to continue some of that. But let me explain the name of the show to you. It's called Signed, Sealed, and Delivered. And the reason why I named that is not because it's from the popular, we call song in the past, but really it's because we're signed with the cross of Christ. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit, and we're delivered through the Our Father prayer, right? So when we are signed with the cross, it's our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, who died on the cross, and we sign ourselves in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and we're sealed by the Holy Spirit when we have the different, you know, initiations of our faith, when we're baptized, and also when we receive First Communion, and then when we have confirmation. So we're sealed by the Holy Spirit through baptism and ends with confirmation. And we're delivered in the sense that when our Lord Jesus Christ showed the apostles how to pray, we in turn learned how to pray. And that when we pray the Our Father, that that prayer is the highest of all prayers, right? Because our Lord Jesus Christ gave us the way to communicate with our Father through prayer, and that we can be delivered from all sorts of things in our lives that are causing problems to us, whether that be physical, emotional, psychological, spiritual. Our Father is that prayer that we should start off with. And so let's do that right now and sign ourselves with the sign of the cross and pray the Our Father together. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. And so when that last part of the Our Father, too, is, you know, we say deliver us from evil, it's also acceptable to know that we can use the word deliver us from the evil one, because that is a person, you know, that's the devil, right? And so we can also, you know, use that. I think Pope Benedict the 16th, that was his favorite way of reciting the Our Father. And I think it's also as a footnote, either in the commentaries in the Bible or in the catechism. So with my newly titled program, my goal is to deliver, you know, some insightful commentary from a Catholic perspective, of course, but me being a physician and also having an award and MBA and being part of, you know, the exorcist team in the past, that I'm going to give a Catholic perspective on science, faith, and spiritual health, and also some, you know, health-wise information. So that's what I intend to do. Some of you may also have heard me on the First Friday shows with Mike Altshuler, and we were here last October 4th, that First Friday, the Healing Day of Prayer. So we're on from 5 to 6. And we have a live call-in show where, as you may know or not know, that you can call in earlier and leave prayer petitions, or you call in live to ask for prayers or even questions. And so those are for First Fridays from 5 to 6 on this same network, on this same channel, WTMR 800 AM in His Sign Catholic Radio. Some of you also may wonder, like, how can you see me in action at a live talk or conference? Well, I wanted to also show you or just tell you about some upcoming events so you will know where you can hear more from me or meet me in person if you like. So virtually right now, there's this weekend starting the 12th, October 12th to the 20th. You might have heard this around the International Week of Prayer and Fasting. The initials of that is IWOPF. So International Week of Prayer and Fasting. So if you go to www.iwopf.org, you can look that up and you'll see that there's different speakers that you could go to live and in person. This is, you know, towards the Virginia, D.C. area where there's various speakers you can attend and hear from Bishop Robert Baker and then Jim Wahlberg, Father Dan Leary, Dan and Stephanie Burke, Dr. Sagi Acosta, and then Alexis Walkenstein. I'm one of the virtual speakers that will be speaking on October 14th. I'll be speaking about spiritual ambush and what that is and what to do about it. So if you're interested in hearing these live speakers or myself as one of the virtual speakers there, you can look that up on iwopf.org. Again, iwopf.org, and that stands for International Week of Prayer and Fasting. And I give a virtual talk there on spiritual ambush, what is it and what to do about it. And I also have there on an archived 2 years ago a talk where I give my testimony. So you can sign up to access those talks of mine and other talks of old from, you know, people from EWTN and also other priests and other great speakers there. I also wanted to just to share with you some other talks that I'm going to be giving around the area that if you wanted to attend or let other people know, like, for instance, I'll be speaking for the Catholic Young Adults for Chester County on October 23rd at 7 p.m. At the Church Hall at St. Peter and Paul's Church here in Westchester. And so I'll be talking about the power of the rosary. As some of you may know that this October is dedicated to the Holy Rosary, and the feast of of Our Lady of the Rosary was just this past Monday. And I've been giving talks around the area, but if you want to invite any young adults there to attend this at St. Peter and Paul's Church, 7 o'clock on Wednesday, October 23rd, in the church hall, that you'll be able to see me give these different talks, such as this Power of the Rosary. Prior to that, I gave a talk on near-death experiences. And so this is something that if you are interested in hearing me speak. Another thing I just wanted to add, too, I will also be in Delaware, Hockessin, Delaware, at St. Mary of the Assumption Church on December 4th. I'll be speaking to the women's group there called GIFT, Growing in Faith Together. And I'll be speaking about the Eucharist on December 4th. That's a Wednesday night. And there will be some ads to that coming up soon that they will put out. And then I'll be giving a talk on January 11th to the men's group on masculinity right here in my home parish in St. Agnes in Westchester, January 11th, to the men's group there, speaking about masculinity at St. Agnes Parish in Westchester. So these are some of the events that you can come and attend, whether you can do the virtual at the International Week of Prayer and Fasting, or you can do some of these live events, whether it's the women's group, the men's group, or the young adults group. I try to do my best and spread the good news around to various venues. So I just want to make sure that you're invited, and I'd love to meet some of my listeners there. And it's always a pleasure to see and meet some of you out there who let me know that you like the show, you like the format, you like the topics. So I really appreciate that very much. Again, we can't survive and we can't continue if we don't get any kind of, donations or sponsorships. So if there's any of you out there that would be willing to help sponsor the show, especially like when I'm on here too, to be able to continue, the good work that Kathy McCarthy's group here at In His Sign Catholic Radio is doing that. And for all these years, and if I remember right, that this network is the longest continuous radio network, Catholic radio network, probably older than EWTN back in the 80s, if I'm not mistaken. But it's pretty longstanding, as you all know. I just want to be able to get more listeners to be able to see the great speakers that we have here. And I'm not just talking about myself. I'm talking about, of course, Kathleen and Ken Johnson and all the various other speakers, Anne McGlone, and that we have here, and Monsignor as well, that all the various priests that we have on this network. Anyway, so I wanted to now continue here and talk about the saints of the day. You know, like I mentioned, this October is dedicated to the Holy Rosary, and on the 7th, or earlier this week, on Monday, was the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. It used to be called Our Lady of Victory. Some of you already probably heard about that, right, about how it got its name back in 1571, where there's that Battle of Lepanto, where there's a small naval army that was just over didn't have enough manpower compared to the Muslims, but yet through the Rosary, through the Holy League was what was called, that the Pope asked for the different nations to pray the Rosaries, they were able to win that Battle of Lepanto, even though they were outnumbered in this very famous naval battle. I think this was the second largest naval battle relative to the one from Mark Antony and Cleopatra. And so that's why it was very important. And it was, it was back in 1569 is when the Pope, Pope Pius V, actually approved the Rosary. You know, the 15 decades of the Hail Mary, where we, we have the Our Father and we conclude with the Glory Be. That was actually officially approved by the Church, by Pope Pius V, with the 15 decades of the Rosary. And, of course, Pope John Paul II, he added the Luminous Mysteries in the year 2002, if I'm not mistaken, which makes sense, because of how, if we think about the Rosary, how we have the three different mysteries, the joyful, where we talk about, Jesus being born through his 12 years old, being, lost at the temple, being found. And then we skip his ministry and go right to the sorrowful mysteries and then to the glorious mysteries after that. So it's very apt that we have the luminous mysteries, that we pray now. So this is important to know that the Rosary had developed over time, and that, it used to be called the Psalter, meaning that it was a song of praise. It was fashioned after the 150 Psalms, and people really couldn't pray those 150 Psalms or nonetheless know it by heart, that they would pray 150 our fathers, or, which made it easier, 150 Hail Marys. And the rosary then at that time got to be known as, you know, Our Lady's Psalter. And so this developed again through time, and this is how we have it back in 1569 as with the 15 decades of the rosary. Now we have the 20, right? We have now the four types of mysteries: the joyful, the luminous, the sorrowful, and the glorious. And so it's very important to know that the rosary has developed and has, you know, grown. And, you know, people, if you really haven't been praying the rosary, this is the month to get back into it. Again, it's dedicated to Our Lady of the Rosary. And, you know, we should also note that the power of the rosary, one secret that I wanted to share of the rosary is that when you have group prayer, it actually is multiplied by the number of people you pray. So it's good, yes, you can pray by yourself, but when you pray in a group and you pray out loud like that, that it actually is multiplied by the number of people. So whether you're on a group rosary, let's say on a Zoom type group rosary that goes on nationally, something like that. I mean, remember we used to have that here during COVID time. We had through the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. But also whether you're one of the early goers at Mass and you pray the rosary before Mass, or if you have the rosary after Mass, the number of people there is actually makes the prayer of the rosary stronger. It's multiplied by that amount. So if there happens to be 12 of you praying the rosary out loud as a group, then the rosary is multiplied by 12 versus if you just pray it on your own. So I highly recommend praying the rosary in a group, and that's the power of group prayer and how it can actually be used, right, to deliver people from all sorts of different things. You know, like, again, in my experience, in the exorcism ministry, healing and deliverance here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, we would pray the rosary. And, you know, whether you pray it, you know, in English or you pray it in Latin, just pray the rosary. It's that powerful. It's beautiful. One of my favorite ways of praying the rosaries is actually using a scriptural rosary where for each of the decades, each of the beads, you recite parts of the scripture related to that mystery. So look that up, and then you'll see that it actually praying the rosary gets to be faster, but not only faster, it's actually because it gets to be more meditative, where now you're really engrossed in reading the scriptures and praying the Hail Mary, and you get to start to imagine and drift off into this meditation where you can think and pray more deeply and maybe even be launched into mystical prayer, which is called contemplation. So these are the things that the fruits where when you pray the rosary, you'll be able to have a better, you know, spiritual life, which will also translate into a better, healthier life, physical life, emotional, psychological. It's the prayers really are the secret to God's heart. That's one of the sayings from Padre Pio, right? He says, pray, hope, and don't worry, that God hears your prayer. And prayer is the best weapon we have. And it's the way to God's heart. And so this is a real key, and I'm really emphasizing how the importance of the rosary. Anyway, let me go to now the other saint of the day Saint Denis. The brief thing I wanted to mention about him, you know, he was a bishop in France, and how Saint Denis, he was a martyr, and he's also the patron of France. He was the first bishop of Paris, and one of the great stories of him was that he was martyred literally on a mountain called the Mountain of Martyrs, and in French, it's called Montmartre. And he was actually decapitated on that mountain. But that didn't stop him, believe it or not, from preaching. He was able to pick up his head, legend has it. And I'm imagining there's witnesses seeing this, so it's not just like a fable or a myth, that he carried his head and up the mountain to finish his preaching. And he was buried up there, of course, but St. Genevieve was the one who helped build a basilica over the tomb at the beginning of the 6th century. And so this is a St. Denis, the first bishop of Paris, France, that he was decapitated, but was able to still pick up the head, walk with it. Sounds gross, doesn't it? But it's like, these are some of the weird, fantastic things about saints. And yet you think about how we, you know, have these movies that seem really fantastical, right? Where you have these different superheroes and such. However, we have real people, such as St. Denis and other saints, who are way better than the fictional characters we have from different cartoons or movies or comic books. You know, these are real people who help us get to God, whereas not necessarily these fictional characters can do that, although they do have their, you know, value for entertainment and may give some sort of, you know, respite and some sort of inspiration in a different way. But I would say in a little lower level of inspiration, because it's not directly to get us to closer to God, as far as my opinion. All right, so I want to go now to the first reading for the 28th Sunday of Ordinary Time. The 28th Sunday. And this would be for October 13th. And, you know, that's a Sunday. That reminds me, you know, that's the feast day of Fatima as well. You know, the miracle of the sun, where there was 70,000 people that witnessed the sun dance in the sky. So although that comes on a Sunday, this Sunday, you know, the Lord's Day is always more important, even though this was a grand spectacle, a grand miracle that happened in Fatima. So just know that when you go to Mass, whether you go on Sunday or the vigil on the Saturday evening, that, you know, think about Our Lady of Fatima and how, again, she also recommends that we, you know, pray the rosary. And so we should, and, you know, have penance as well. So I highly recommend doing that as far as, you know, getting yourself spiritually healthy, because that's what matters the most, really. And it's going to lead into the readings that we have, because it's going to make you think, well, what is most important in our life? Is it really to live longer and to look good, versus is it really best to live forever in heaven? Because we all should know we're going to live forever somewhere. It's up to us where we're going to choose. Right? Are we going to choose to live forever in heaven, or are we going to choose to live forever in hell? You know, God doesn't send anyone to hell. It's us people that make the choice to be selfish, prideful, and, you know, and self-loving, that we turn away and from God and become disobedient. When we do that and we don't repent and get our sins forgiven, then we risk, you know, eternity. We risk heaven and going to hell. So we don't want any of that to happen to any of us. We all are sinners, and, you know, except the Blessed Mother. You know, she was saved from that. You know, she was preempted. She was filled with grace, but God is the one, the source of grace, and gave her the grace. She didn't commit any sin. She was immaculately conceived, and she stayed without sin. She was sinless. And so, but for everyone else, including yours truly, we all need the sacrament of confession. And I highly recommend that because, you know, you think about it, if you go see your doctor every year for a yearly checkup, well, at the very least, what about the state of your soul? At the very least, the church recommends we go to confession once a year. However, I mean, that's just the bare minimum, right? So in my opinion, we need to do much more, actually, in my opinion, once a month. Not so 12 times in a year, once a month, not just once a year. Because if you also think about it, if you wash your car, let's say it's a rainy day or it's a stormy day, or, you know, when the snow comes around and after it stops snowing or clears up, don't you get it washed? How often? So you might wash your car, I would hope, you know, maybe a couple of times a season. Or let's make it even more practical. I hope you people out there have, you know, take a bath or a shower regularly, right? So if we do so, would we do so once a year? Would we, you know, wash our own physical body, you know, just 12 times or once a month? Would we do so only, you know, once a weekend or something like that? Or do we do so like every day or every other day? Now, I'm not saying go to confession every day or every other day. My point being is that if we take care of our cars, if we take care of our bodies and wash them, well, what about our soul? Shouldn't we do it more than just once a year or 12 times in a month? I mean, that's great. That'd be awesome if you do it once a month. But please do so. Because, again, like one of the reasons why I wanted to rename my program and call it Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, again, it's like we're signed with the cross, right? And that if we're going to follow Christ and pick up our cross daily, and we have the Holy Spirit, that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, we have the sacraments of initiation, those three sacraments, we're baptized, we had our first communion, we were confirmed, you know, the Holy Spirit is stirred up in us, that now we're supposed to fight the good fight. But how can we fight the good fight if our soul is wounded with many venial sins, or it's mortally wounded with a mortal sin? In other words, a grave sin, a serious sin, such as those that break the Ten Commandments or those that don't follow the Beatitudes. You see, or simply that you don't love God and love neighbor, the two greatest commandments the Lord has commanded us to follow. So, and one way to start is, again, to self-deliver, meaning when we pray the Our Father with the intention where we say, deliver us from the evil one or deliver us from evil, we focus our intention that all those things that are really holding us back, whether we're feeling sick, sorrowful, or unrest, we don't have peace, we have anxiety, we have depression, we can't sleep at night, our blood pressure is high, we have all these worries. Well, how can we be delivered from all of this? Well, the divine physician, our Lord and Savior, is the one who provided this prayer where we can plead to our Father, our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father, God the Father, through His Son, Jesus Christ, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can be delivered various ways, because you have control over your own body by saying these different prayers like we do at the beginning of our program. And so when we go over these readings today, after we take a break here, that I'll show you the connection about why is it important that we should pay attention to wisdom versus more than about our physical body per se, that the seeking of wisdom is such more important. Well, we're at the bottom of the hour, believe it or not. Let's take a break, and then we'll come back and we'll go over the readings and the gospel for this coming 28th Sunday of Ordinary Time. So we'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo here on WTMR 800 AM, Where the Master Reigns, on In His Sign Catholic Radio. And this is my new title of program called Signed, Sealed, Delivered, where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. So thank you for coming back and joining us on this show. I'm going to go now and continue with the first reading for this coming Sunday, October 13th, the first reading for the 28th Sunday of Ordinary Time is from Wisdom. And just a real quick background, you know, some of the commentary that I'm making is some of my own, but there's also a lot that I have come across through John Bergsma, and I highly recommend reading some of his commentary, or from Peter Kraft. And so there's others from the Var Bible, and also from Frank J. Sheed. There's various sources out there, and I just highly recommend just try to find different sources, whether it's the Word Among Us or the Magnificat, something there to help you to your liking to be able to understand Scripture more. And so what I like to do is put my own spin to the different sources that I've come across to try to also make it practical and a little bit more digestible for you all to when you hear this. And so I try to cull through all the different commentaries and sources so you can get this in a simpler manner or just an easier matter with different ways for me to give examples. Anyway, this book that I'm going to read from for the first reading is from the Book of Wisdom. And so it's really the Wisdom of Solomon. And so there's actually four books that are really placed together that there's the first book is called Proverbs, and then Ecclesiastes, and then the Song of Songs. And then there's this book of the Wisdom of Solomon. And so all these four books are really important. I mean, if you want to gain wisdom, these are the four books to go through. It really changed my life growing up as a teenager from 13 years old. I just remember diving in and reading these, and it just helped me tremendously in my life. And so I wanted to show you how important this particular reading that we have here. And so this is from Wisdom, chapter 7, verses 7 to 11. And I'm going to read it now. It says, "I prayed, and prudence was given me. I pleaded, and the spirit of wisdom came to me. I preferred her to scepter and throne, and deemed riches nothing in comparison with her. Nor did I liken any priceless gem to her, because all gold in view of her is a little sand, and before her silver is to be accounted mire. Beyond health and comeliness, I loved her, and I chose to have her rather than the light, because the splendor of her never yields to sleep. Yet all good things together came to me in her company, and countless riches at her hands. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, the part that I want to say here, this again, these are from the wisdom books, and this was from, you know, a disciple of King Solomon. That was, you know, the author is a disciple of King Solomon. So even this called the wisdom of Solomon, this was one of his disciples. Anyway, so the part I wanted to focus on was here where it said, beyond health and comeliness, I loved her. So this is my point, where when you see that wisdom, the importance of wisdom and the value of wisdom is actually better than health and comeliness, or, you know, one's looks, and even, you know, like having gold and silver, you will see that not only will the Lord reward you with wisdom, which is, you know, a gift from God, that he will, you know, reward you in various ways, from your own life, your own job, your own children. It will spread down from there. But you have to ask for this wisdom. And this is what I remember doing as a 13-year-old, when I remember reading, you know, Solomon, about how he asked for wisdom, and essentially God could have given him anything, but he chose wisdom so he can rule people better, you know. And so not only did God give him, you know, long life and riches, which he didn't ask for, he gave him the wisdom, but he gave him more. And so this is my point about wisdom. When you seek wisdom, that it's like it doesn't compare to physical wealth. And in fact, when you have this heavenly wisdom, this spiritual wisdom, and I'm not talking about knowledge. I'm not talking about earthly wisdom, human wisdom. You know, there's the saying that the wisdom of man is like folly to God, right? I don't know if I quoted that properly. But it's really essentially like what people out there, you know, you can look at the different bestseller lists, and they come out with, you know, whether it's a business book or self-help books, you know, nothing compares with when you look at the wisdom from on high, from God himself, compared to the wisdom of the world, which actually is not that wise at all. It's like it's folly to God, right? It doesn't compare. And so the thing is, though, when you get the wisdom from God, don't be surprised if not only good things come to you, that you, in other words, you also might get riches as well, because God is generous. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not here preaching, you know, the health and wealth gospel. That's a false gospel. I'm trying to read to you here about this book of wisdom, that here it shows, you know, people are really into their health, which is good. I'm not putting that down. I'm a physician. You know, I highly recommend, you know, again, eating right, you know, sleeping right, you know, exercising. Yes, it's great, you know, but at the same time, you know, when we spend too much time about our body, but we don't spend time about our spiritual self, then it calls into question, does the gymnasium that we go to, where we work out, has that become our temple? Do we forego going to mass or praying or doing adoration, spending time reading scripture, watching things on, you know, the internet, or that will uplift our heart and soul? Or do we just really look there for different foods to eat, what to drink, where, you know, what to work out? Those are good, you know, but it's not as good as if we're not paying attention to our spiritual life, because our body will die, right? We will die one day, but our spirit will live forever. So we should really focus on our spiritual health. And that's part of my role here on this newly titled show, Signed, Sealed, Delivered, where we're trying to bring to you all the different aspects of our spiritual life so we'll be spiritually healthy. So I wanted to now go towards the next reading from Hebrews. And this is from Hebrews chapter 4. Now, Hebrews, what's really interesting about Hebrews, even though, you know, people may think it's from St. Paul, it really is an anonymous letter, or more so, not a letter, but a sermon or homily. And some people have thought, such as like Dr. Bergsma, that maybe it's a combination of St. Luke, you know, being like the speech writer to St. Paul. And so, you know, you'll see this fancy Greek in here. But the point here is this letter to Hebrews is not specifically from St. Paul. It's formally anonymous. And so there's no real identified author. So you may hear people saying that it's not like the letter of the Hebrews from St. Paul, right? It's just we don't know who it is in particular. But, you know, one thought is St. Luke might have been the speechwriter, St. Paul, in writing this. Anyway, so let me read this reading, just a couple of verses, actually. And here it is from Hebrews. Indeed, the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart. No creature is concealed from him, but everything is naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must render an account. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And so here the part that I wanted to focus on is how it says that God's word is living and effective. Now, you know, when I hear words like that, the word effective, I start thinking back in business school. You know, I graduated from the Wharton School of Business 2004. And, you know, we always try to, you know, get the most profit and, you know, try to be very productive and effective. And looking at this translation, you know, actually, the word is actually that's better than effective is actually the word active should be used, where it really comes from a Greek word called energes, which where we get the word energy. Okay. And so this, what it says here, the word of God is living. So let me change the translation to the better Greek translation where we get the word energy, where we use the word active. So indeed, the word of God is living and active. All right. So when we say active, it's like heat and light. It's like the sun. So it's burning hot. It's alive. So it's not like effective, like an economy or computer, right? When it's in Hebrews, it says, this word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. So if you think about when we use the word of God, yeah, that's scripture, right? We know that the word of God is the Bible, it's scripture, but also who is the word? Who is the word of God that was made flesh, right? So God the Father is the word, but who's the word of God? Who's the word of the Father? You know, who became flesh? That's Jesus. So when the scripture is saying, indeed, the word of God is living and active. So if we actually understand that it's not only the Bible, which is the word of God, but we're talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity. So he is the word of God, singular, right? But when we say, let's look at the words of God, well, that's the Bible, plural. So it's really important when you read scripture, you hear it. If you have a discerning mind and eyes and ears, you'll be able to uncover more. And this is why we think about the first reading with the Book of Wisdom. When we ask the Lord for wisdom, let's ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom, then we'll be able to discern better, because the Holy Spirit's going to help us hear the word of God, hearing Jesus through scripture, right? And then we'll be able to now speak to God, meaning we can talk to him, which is called prayer. And this is what makes praying a conversation. You know, some people, you know, they practice meditation or yoga. But if you think about that, that yoga, those meditations, it's really an emptying of the mind, and it's not conversing with anybody but oneself. And whereas when you pray, you're speaking to God Almighty, and he hears you. He hears everything you're saying. Now, for those of us who are in mortal sin, he's not obligated to hear us. He hears us anyway, but we're the ones who turned away from him. But yet he loves us so much and is waiting to hold us and hug us and forgive us with open arms. It's just we need to ask forgiveness. We need to see that we're sorry for what we've done. So this is why when we pray, we're not really alone. We're, you know, it's not like when we're reading scripture, when we're reading the Bible like this, that it's not like reading a letter to about somebody who's not there, right? Or if you're reading a text or an email, it's not like you're reading these words that from somebody that's not there. Actually, when you're reading these words, he's here right now. So when I'm saying, indeed, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, he is here now. The word of God, meaning Jesus Christ, is here. We're speaking to him, and he's speaking to us. And that's what makes this Bible alive in that sense. There's no other book out there. You can take the best book you love, whether a science fiction book, a fiction mystery novel or what have you. There's nothing compares that is alive with words that can change your life and help you reach heaven. Now, there's books and movies and songs that can change your life, but I would dare say they would not per se lead you to heaven. Okay, they would lead you to the one only Savior, Jesus Christ. It may inspire you on some steps to get there, but I wouldn't say directly. You know, that's just, again, my opinion. Nothing like, again, the scripture itself, right, is my whole point. And that this book here, that when it says it's sharper than two-edged sword, meaning it cuts both ways. Do you remember when Jesus said that he did not come to bring peace in the world? Doesn't that sound weird, right? Like when he said, I have not come to bring peace. I'm paraphrasing here. I don't have the scripture verse right in front of me here. But he said something that, you know, mother and daughter would be against each other, father and son, you know. And so how can that be? But we also know he is the Prince of Peace, right? We also know that the gifts of the Holy Spirit, or the fruits of the Holy Spirit, is love, joy, peace, and patience, and kindness and goodness, generosity. There's 12 of them all the way down to self-control, modesty, and chastity. My point is, how can Jesus say he's the Prince of Peace, but at the same time he says he did not come to bring peace? And then there's division where father is against son against father, mother against daughter against mother, and then the in-laws and all those combinations. Well, part of it is because of this, what it says in Hebrews, that his word is sharper than a two-edged sword, penetrating even between soul and spirit, joints and marrows, and discerns reflections and thoughts of the heart. And there's nothing that is concealed from him. Everything's exposed. It's naked to his eyes. And we're going to have to render an account. So how do we reconcile when he says he didn't come to bring peace, right? And that his word actually is a two-edged sword. Well, the way it works is this, is Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And when you say the truth, It's going to divide those who believe the untruth versus the truth, those who believe what is right versus wrong. And so that's how it cuts both ways, that what initially it seems like it's dividing. It divides from what is true from falsehood, right? And from right from wrong. But in making this cut, you know, like this surgical cut of what this is what's right, it then should help those who are in the wrong or who have the incorrect or untruth to then cause unity and then bring them towards the truth. So by giving the truth, it initially will cause division in the sense that, oh, these people are right and these other, or this teaching is right and this other belief is wrong. But then once you lay out the truth and the facts, then it should cause unity. And that's why he is the Prince of Peace. And that's why he is our God who calls everyone unto himself. So even though the word is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it penetrates even soul and spirit, that he will, you know, expose everything, the thoughts of our hearts and our reflections. And you can't hide anything from him. He'll know that. And so this is why it's important to be on the side of truth, to actually be in the church founded by God himself, Jesus Christ. And there's no other church. There's only one church. There's only one faith. There's only and there's only one God, right? Three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. And what's the name of that church that Jesus Christ founded? The Catholic Church. There is no other church that was founded by God except the one true, holy, apostolic church called the Catholic Church, right? And so this is why we want to be part of the Catholic Church. So let's go to now the Gospel of Mark, which is for this coming Sunday. It's kind of a long one. It's very important, though, and I know I spent so much time talking about the others, but I'm going to try to read this here accentuate some of the highlights. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up, knelt down before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He replied and said to him, "Teacher, all of these I have observed from my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You are lacking one thing. Go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At that statement, his face fell. And he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. So Jesus again said to them in reply, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were exceedingly astonished and said among themselves, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For human beings it is impossible, but not for God. All things are possible for God." Peter began to say to him, "We have given up everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Amen, I say to you, there is no one who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mothers or father, or children or lands, for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, will not receive 100 times more now in this present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and land with persecutions and eternal life in the age to come." the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the part, I mean, this is a long, beautiful gospel. I urge you all, actually, to read the three parallel gospels, you know, for Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and to see what each of them say. Kind of like, you know, if you like mysteries like I do, kind of see like what the eyewitnesses or, you know, these authors wrote, right? To see their take on it. And then you can see their perspective. And so what's really neat here, and I learned this from, you know, Frank J. Sheed from his book called To Know Christ Jesus. And so you'll see how there's a different focus from each of them when they write this through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so here, this part where Jesus was setting out on a journey, it shows that this man, he was a young man, okay, and he was a ruler of some sort, he was rich, that he ran up. And that's pretty interesting. You know, he hustled. He ran, and then he knelt. He honored the Lord. He knelt down before him. Now, this is what's also strange in that he called Jesus teacher. He said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I mean, isn't that the question of all? We want to know, how can we spend our eternity in heaven, you know, to live in eternal happiness? We don't want to go to hell, right? And Jesus answered him and said, why do you call me good? And it's not a strange question, because he says it, Jesus qualifies that, and he says, no one is good but God alone. Now, I don't want this time to pass, because what Jesus is saying to him is like, wait, are you calling me teacher because you just think I'm a teacher, that I'm just a regular man? Or do you actually realize that I'm God, and that's why you're calling me good? Because you first called me, here you ran, you knelt down as if I'm God, but then you called me good teacher. And so I'm going to address that part where you said good. Do you call me good because, you know, you think I'm God? Because Jesus said to him, said, no one is good but God alone. So why are you calling me good? So now I don't know if you ever heard that from any homily out there, but so this is the point where if we look at these words one by one, we're going to be able to get such wisdom and jewels and understand that he is being tested. Do you see Jesus as a teacher, as a man, or with good morals, or do you see him as God? And so what happens is, you know, Jesus quotes the commandments. He quotes the, you know, the second tablet, right, with how to deal with people. And then the guy tried to justify himself, but Jesus exposed him. He knew. He looked into his eyes, and he can tell the one thing that was in his heart that he was attached to, that his God was actually wealth. You see, wealth and power. Even though he might be doing good things with his wealth and his power, his status, that's what he needed to give up. And he wouldn't do that. At this point, we don't know what happened to him later, but his face fell. And so he's the one that actually didn't follow the Lord. And it was because he was clinging on to his possessions. So this ties up, you know, in a short summary about how wealth is not that important relative to our spiritual health, that we can get to heaven and be with God. That's who we want to be. And so I hope this new format of what I'm trying to bring here on Science Field Delivered is going to help you out. And God bless you all. And I hope that you tune in as we have the show every week, again, at the same time from, you know, 5 to 6, and hear more about scriptures from, you know, myself here adding to all this commentary. Well, God bless you all, and thank you for joining me again on WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns, on In His Sign Catholic Radio, on Sign Sealed Delivered. This is Dr. Anton signing off. God bless you all.